are back. Welcome to week two of Wrestling Rewind here on the Jeff Meacham Network. Right off the hitch, got to thank Magdalene by Rue, of course. You guys recognize the theme song from back in the day. A little snippet of it there, courtesy of Scene and the boys in the band. No vocals, because I wanted to keep it audio only on the intros, so at least try to anyway. So thank you to Scene for providing me with the instrumental version of Magdalene to bring back an old favorite for the Jeff Meacham Network, and you'll get your byline for sure. Greg Cherry, what the hell is going on, brother? How you feeling?
Not bad. And with that intro, it makes me want to like jump on a roller coaster with you and answer some wrestling questions.
Yes. I am all about that. Get your ass out here. We'll go to Matt. I will brave Magic Mountain and the Gold Rusher for that.
There we go.
I will get my fat ass in that little cramped seat and make it happen.
Sounds like a plan. But hey, we have business at hand to attend to today.
Indeed. For those of you that have been under a rock in the last week and not familiar with what's going on here on the network, thank you all for tuning in today, because we've got the best Royal Rumble match of all time, bar none. I will debate you until I go on the ground on this one, as will Greg. It is the best of all time.
You know, anybody who wants to debate what the best Royal Rumble is of all time really doesn't have an argument. There have been great Royal Rumbles over the past, was it now 32 years? The women's Royal Rumble, the very first one, notwithstanding, which we get to watch next week.
2 weeks.
But
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Next week is 2001. Right.
2001. Well, 2001's another great one.
Yes. So yes.
That works out great. But there is no comparison to 1992. No. 1992, and I was thinking about this right before we went on the air here. 1992, not only the best Rumble match of all time, it may arguably be, or at least in the top 10, greatest story told matches of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Between the action in the ring, and especially, which I get to listen to today because I wore headphones specifically for this.
Attaboy.
To listen to the commentary of the late great Gorilla Monsoon and the late great Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yeah, there's a lot of late great on this show.
Bobby, yeah,
Bella, Mean Gene, Lord Alfred. Howard Finkel didn't pass away yet, did he?
Who's that?
Howard Finkel didn't pass away yet, did he?
No, he's still alive. I know he's having health issues. I'm pretty sure okay. We would have heard about it, though, all if right. The Fink would have been.
He's on the show. Joey Morella, Jack Tunney's on this show. He's no longer with us. Mm-hmm. And in the match we're going to watch, British Bulldog, well, Texas Tornado,
Nicolai. I was going to say, let's go through it when all the entrants come out.
Okay, fine. I was going to read it out. You make a very good point. So, for those of you that are on the WWE Network already, you guys should know by now, Wrestling Rewind, fire the network before you even hit play on us, guys. Just make your lives easier. And you know what the topic is, so get yourselves there if you haven't already. We are at 1 hour, 28 minutes, 46 seconds. Because basically what I did was, I scrolled over to the right on the menu screen and clicked on where it says 1992, a Royal Rumble match for the WWE Championship right after the Superstars Discuss the Royal Rumble match tab, which has a Macho Man as the thumbnail. If you hit that button and then press play, you get a screen cap of the Hulkster posing. So,
are you at 128 or 126? I'm at 126.
I suck. 126. Sorry. 126.46. Okay.
Just so you guys don't start a full entrant ahead of us.
Yeah. Well, actually, 2 minutes from now, Tony will still be talking. So,
yeah.
Jack's kind of long winded. May he rest in peace.
Oh, yeah, Lord. I didn't plan for that part. It was like, oh crap, I got to listen to Tunney's speech. But at least I get to listen to Heenan too.
So. Yes, you get to listen to Heenan rag on Tunney, which is the best part of Tunney's speech. So, It's all good. So, for those of you ready to go. 1 hour, 26 minutes, 46 seconds. I'll give you a couple more seconds to get yourselves there. In 3.
Of course.
That's why I pause, folks. You just never know. Three, two, one, and play. We get a live shot of the Knickerbocker Arena. The crowd is jacked, jammed to the rafters. They're hanging from the rafters, as Mean Gene would say.
Yep.
And the Fink is mid-ring, as only the Fink can be. You know what's funny? With his beard, he has more hair now than he did then.
Yeah, that's a little weird. Can you hear my dog going crazy?
Very much so, but that's okay.
No, I'm crying out loud. Hold on a second.
While Greg handles his canine, we'll let Howard do his spiel. He's spieling left and right, giving the rules. Remember, kids, over the top rope, both feet hit the floor. Every 2 minutes, somebody else comes in. The winner, in this case, the winner becomes the undisputed World Wrestling Federation champion. And I think Howard just said that, so I'm kind of on time there. I'm pretty good about that.
Yep. And you were actually as the mouth was moving, it's like, oh, geez, I channel the spirit of the thing.
Did not even mean to do that, but I'm proud of myself. There you go. And here comes Tunny. Here we go. Jack, on the take, Tunny.
Tunny.
Thank you, Howard.
As popular as Roger Goodell is now.
Right. Yeah, jeez. Oh, boy. Still love that belt. Still my favorite world championship the WWE ever used.
Absolutely.
You know,
I know the replica championships aren't exactly the same on shop, but I still want one.
Well, I have the one with the WWF logo, so I love my one with all the pieces.
Yeah.
I got it before WWE went, we can't do that!
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I literally, they announced that I was ground level, man. I was in on that like flies on poop. Are you kidding me? I'm like, that's the Winged Eagle. That's the belt I first saw the first time I turned on a wrestling show.
The best present since Noriega.
Oh, Bobby. I just, you know, it's one of those things, you know. We do this every year because between you and I, we watch every Rumble match at least once in the course of the road to the Rumble. And the line
have to. No.
British Bulldog on his way. He has left us in, actually, 10 years after this, he was gone.
Yep. Crazy. It's hard to believe it's been almost, 17 years since Bulldog passed?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It'll be in June.
Deep passing 02 or 03?
02. June of 02. 03 was notably Road Warrior Hawk, Miss Elizabeth, and Kurt Hennig.
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah. Among those three, among others, unfortunately. Another one that's gone, Sherry. Jeez.
Yeah.
And Sherry, unfortunately, got kind of overlooked because she passed right around the time the whole Benoit thing went down. So that was just, she kind of got.
Well, I thought she passed away the same year she got inducted in the Hall of Fame. Like, no. She got inducted in the Hall of Fame, and then, like, months later, she was gone. Was it? Jeez.
She was in 2006 when she got inducted.
Yeah, I know.
And then 2007 was when she passed.
Hmm.
So it was over a year that she got inducted. Yeah, she was in the class with Brett and Eddie.
Jeez, wrestler deaths are going to be a question on WTC, I can tell.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Jeez.
They will now.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to study up on that unfortunate subject.
Well, you know, I'm debating whether we're going to put up, down, down, and Spotify on there or not, because that kind of annoyed me after a while with Aaron Dillon.
The thing with up, up, down, down is, like, I asked those because I was very familiar with the channel, and I still watch it because it's completely entertaining. Right. But for the people that don't watch it, and it's the same, like, people who don't watch, you know, some of the other, like, special stuff that they do on the network.
Right. Yeah, I'm not a gamer, so that doesn't appeal to me, you know? So
I know we're a couple seconds past it, but I always love DiBiase's fist drops.
Oh yeah. He's got, you know, the best fist drops other than Lawler off the top rope. He's got the best ones for sure.
Yep.
And speaking of the top rope, there goes Teddy over it.
Oh, boy.
And the Bulldog rules the roost for the moment.
Yep.
And we're about to have the single greatest reaction by an announcer in the history of WWE television.
Yep.
Because when that bell hits and the next guy emerges, Bobby is livid.
Mm-hmm.
I encourage you guys to, you know, mute me and listen to Bobby's reaction.
Classic.
Bobby's just like, damn it!
Well, you figure, in story, he had a lot of money riding on the result of this, yep. And Flair coming out at 3 was terrible for him.
Yeah, because, you know, and Grill's going to point out here in a few seconds, you know, never before number 1 through 5 been at the end, you know, this is a death knell in most people's eyes. This is like, oh, crap. This is,
oh, yeah. Because you figure the longest lasting person, granted, there's only been 4 Rumbles to this point, was Rick Martel.
Yes. Look at Kurt, man. Even in semi-retirement, he's still looking as only Kurt Hennig can look.
That's because he's perfect.
He's perfect. That's right. Do you know that I don't know if I was talking with you or somebody else. I was trying to find a GIF of Mr. Perfect with the quote "absolutely perfect" emblazoned over it. I can't find that anywhere on Messenger or on Twitter, and it pisses me the hell off.
Hmm.
It's irritating. It's like he said that a lot.
You don't see the Gorilla Press with the like push-ups anymore.
No. This Davey was just a beast, and I know he was on the gas, but still, holy crap. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot about Davey here the last couple weeks on, I think, Bischoff's podcast, maybe Tony's. They covered Starrcade 93.
Mm.
And they were talking about he was going to be an integral part of that, but he got let go. And yeah. There were a lot of reasons being said of why he let go and, you know, the gas and, you know, attitude and money and whatnot. But it's just like, it's, you know. I honestly think that, you know, the general gist is true and that Davey's own personal crap in his head and in his heart did him in more than anything else.
Yeah. Here comes Sags.
Sags and the Nasty Boys.
Which is weird that only Sags was in it. We went over this with the 88 one. Only half the tag team is in this match.
I think Brian was hurt is why.
That's possible.
Yeah, because...
Because Brian Knobbs was in the 91, but right. Sags wasn't. So,
matter of fact, Knobbs was final 3.
Yeah.
91 with Earthquake and Hulk.
Yep, Hogan's buddies in the final 3.
Yeah, I know
Brian. Final was, 4 with Davey Boy, actually.
Yeah, I know Knobbs was at the 92 WrestleMania because he was in the 8-man tag that Ray Combs introduced. So
I love Ray Combs.
Again, underrated guy, tragic ending, man. Just brutal.
But
so he was part of that. So I don't know if he was recovering at the time of the Rumble or what, but Brian Knobbs is not here. Ironically, both members of Strike Force are in this match again, too.
Just not as a tag team.
No, definitely not. No, Martel is well into model mode by now.
Yeah.
And Tito's now back at the door.
Yeah.
There you go. What? Yeah. Oh, hang on. Shawn Michaels rule.
Hang on. What?
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Bye, Sags.
You and me, Flair.
Back to Bulldog and Flair.
That's it. Flair's like, oh, man, come on.
And, of course, this isn't. This isn't fair to Flair.
This isn't fair to Flair. I love this. I wish I had the commentary on, but I don't want to drown out my own audio here. I don't know
how to hook up wear headphones next time.
Well, I don't know how to hook up my earbuds to the Roku TV. I have to figure out how to do that. Jeez.
There we go.
Haku. Oh, man. Okay.
Now he wasn't king at this point because he wasn't King Haku.
No, and honestly, you know, this is a universal opinion by most people. If wrestling was a shoot, Haku would be the undefeated world champion to this day.
Oh, yeah. Like, Haku, even now, like, I would not want to mess with him.
No, no. If I knew contract killing was legal and needed something done, I would call Haku, like, now.
Yeah.
He's a badass.
Yeah.
You know, I had Rick Ellis certified badass yesterday on one-on-one, but Haku is a certified badass.
Yeah, I remember watching, like, when he was Ming in WCW, somebody smashed a wooden chair over his head, and he just stood there and, like, looked at him. It's like, as a kid, that terrified the shit out of me.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, dude, what's funny is I didn't realize who Ming was until much later. Because he had the glasses on, he had the shorter haircut, he had the full suit. It wasn't until he joined the dungeon I was like, hey. Yeah. Wait a minute. But yeah, he's always been double tough.
Yeah.
And you know, it's Bobby is at some point when Haku came out talking about, you know, that he used to manage Haku but it's like, and Bobby's like, why does it matter? He goes, I know it doesn't matter. Leave me alone. Bobby said a lot about this whole match. Just, shut up and leave me alone. Oh, jeez. Heavy hit, man. Look at that ball. Haku is dragging each other.
And then
there goes Haku. Well, so much for that. Once again, it's Flair and... Oh, not for long. Freshly minted boy toy, Shawn Michaels.
Yep. And in that, like, weird little position before he had the sexy boy theme.
Yeah. Yeah, not quite the heartbreak kid yet, because
Sherry. Nope.
And Kurt Hennig hadn't given the heartbreak kid nickname yet.
It's weird that Shawn was, like, fighting Flair right away because he is freshly turned heel.
Yeah, but you know what? Shawn...
Oh, and some of the worst sweet chin musics he ever threw were in this match.
Oh, I know. Well, because, you know, that wasn't his finish yet, that's why.
No, but even still, with the Rockers, he used it quite frequently, so...
Right. Yeah, his finish at this point is a side suplex, and even... I don't remember who it was. I'll have to read his book again, but somebody told... the Shawn Michaels...
What? Shawn Michaels, and he missed him by a mile.
Oh, he missed the kick! That's what I'm saying. I think he grazed Davey's hair. That's about it.
Yep.
Jeez.
Right in the braids.
That was horrendous.
It's like I said, Shawn. I love Shawn, but like if I ever met him, I'd always give him a hard time about the super kicks in this match. It's like you missed them both.
It's so funny, you know. You talk about meeting Shawn Michaels. You know, I had so many things I wanted to say. But it ended up being such a cattle call. I literally got the belt over his shoulder, turned around, did my pose, and out I went. I'm like, okay.
Well, I did the book signing with him a few years ago.
Right.
And, you know, you don't want to take up too much of the guy's time.
No. What was really cool, when I met Chris Jericho back in whenever Undisputed came out, his second book, I forget what year that was. Somebody can throw me a bone on Twitter later.
But here's Tito. I mean, El Matador.
Yep. When Chris was sitting down doing the book signings, and he invited people to come and sit down next to him and take the pictures. And he wasn't supposed to. It was supposed to be one item, one signature, one photo, or whatever. He signed both the books. He signed chairs for me and JJ. I think what got his attention is the fact that I wore a 1967 Kings jersey, which is what his dad played for. His dad was an original Los Angeles King.
Oh, there you go.
So,
because I know he played for the Rangers. I didn't realize he played for the Kings too.
Yep, he was an OG. He was on the first year team.
Oh, there you go.
So Ted Irvin has a place in Kings history, but we saw jerseys. Like, come here and sit down. Let's talk.
Heenan.
I know,
he's making guacamole out of El Matador.
It's like I've seen this match so many times that my TV's on mute. I hear you laugh. I go, I know exactly what he said.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, he is the best ever. He's just the best ever.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, when he passed end of 17, JR said he was the best overall performer, period. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, he wasn't the best wrestler, but he wrestled in a way that, you know, a weaselly guy would wrestle. He was the best manager. He was the best color analyst, commentator, whatever you want to call it. He he had the greatest of all time talk. Two of the guys in the ring are in that discussion, no question about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, best overall performer, Bobby's definitely in the discussion.
Yeah. Sorry, I laughed at the flying jalapeno.
Flying jalapeno. Me every time. Okay, I know. Trust me. I know exactly where we're at here.
See, here's the thing I don't understand. The Barbarian kept his name when he went over to WCW.
Yes.
Did he like own it or something?
Yes.
Is he still alive?
Yes, I believe okay. so. Yeah, the Barbarian was the Barbarian for Jim Crockett before he went to the WWF.
Oh, so he just like
trademarked the name there.
Oh, okay. So he was ahead of the curve.
Right. So when he went back to Jim Crockett, of course it was WCW by then.
Yeah.
He was still allowed to be the Barbarian. But what was funny is when he came back to WWF in 94, he was a head shrinker.
Yes, Sione,
yes.
For those that remember the non-Samu and Fatu
yes.
Head shrinkers.
Yeah, you can't really call them head shrinkers light because the Barbarian's just so damn big.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just, Davey Boy's no small man, but Barbarian just is towering.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I was going to say, if we were watching the 95 Rumble, I remember he was in that as Sione.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, but, we're not going to watch.
No, 95 Rumble's terrible.
We're not going to watch that.
Sorry, Sean.
To quote me, here's the thing. You know, during Rumble season, we're going to watch Rumbles on Wrestling Rewind. That just goes without saying because that's your match and that's what we do. Right. So at some point, we'll get to 95. It'll be a shorter show, which is fine. And it'll be a chance for us to just crap all over everything.
Next year, we do the worst Rumbles of all time. So 95, 2015. 93 wasn't that great other than Backlund.
Yes.
We'll talk about later.
Yes. I would have to agree with that that fun idea. Worst Rumbles of all time. Book it for next year.
There we go.
Now
here comes the tornado.
Fun piece of trivia. I think I told you this during a WTC match. Don't forgive me if I'm wrong here. Speaking of which, people don't know this. This is a rivalry here between these two for the NWA championship. But Kerry is wrestling without one foot.
I think I did know that.
Yeah. Kerry, right? He had a motorcycle accident in 86, I believe it was. Maybe 88. And his right foot had to be amputated. So he always was around the boys and around everybody with his boots on. He even showered with his boots on so nobody would know he was an amputee.
But you know what? He doesn't move like...
No.
Like it looks very natural.
No, I mean, he won the Intercontinental Championship after losing the foot. So there you go.
Well, yeah.
And he'd be perfect for it at that. So, you know. You know, Kerry had his demons. Kerry had his issues. But you know what? When it was time to go, he went.
Yeah. I mean, the story of the Von Erichs is another tragic one.
Oh, God. And, geez, that freaking Dark Side of the Ring special was just, oh, my God. I about threw up at some of that stuff.
I think Dark Side of the Ring is touching on Benoit.
Oh,
which,
my goodness.
That one's going to be just... really depressing.
Yeah, I heard they wanted to do one on Joni, and her mom said no.
Well, I can understand that too.
Right. Well, you know, they had that one show. I forget which it was, like True Crime never did one against the family's wishes, and I heard that one got super dark.
Yeah.
Speaking of dark, here's a dark cloud in Barry Darso's life.
I enjoyed the Repo Man gimmick. I might be among the few, but I thought it was funny.
Well, you know what? I can say I didn't like Repo Man, but then there's Blacktop Bullies. So, you know, I mean, let's keep things relative, shall we?
Yeah.
Blacktop Bully got him canned from WCW.
Yep.
And Dustin.
During that match in the back of the truck.
Yep. Because they both bladed without permission because, you know, TBS was, you know, very anti-blood.
All yes, right, because that was during, that was. I thought that was during the Clash.
No, it was at Uncensored.
Oh.
But because Turner still owned the company, they were like, no.
Oh, crying out loud.
I know. And it's funny, I was just watching the Road Warriors documentary on the network this morning, actually, as I tape this, because I couldn't sleep going into the day. And they showed the clip of the Road Warriors jamming the spike into Dusty's eye. Ugh. They had it black and white out on the network because they won't show blood on the network. But it was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
No wonder he got fired. Holy crap. Dusty took that fire in like a man. What?
Yeah.
Find me, baby. Go ahead. I look like shit. I'm getting paid.
If you will.
If you will. It's like my shirt says, they love me one day, the next day they hate me. Both days I get paid.
It's hard to believe that Dusty was only ever in one Rumble also.
Right? Well.
Well, I guess his tenure. No, I believe 90.
Well, because 91, he and Dustin faced DiBiase and Virgil in the big Virgil turn.
Hold on.
In a tag match.
Yeah, because not 90, he was actually in the Rumble match.
Okay, yeah, okay, so he was at least at two Rumble events.
Yeah, it was at two Rumble events, just in one Rumble match.
Got it. Another old NWA rivalry here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't remember that. Matter of fact, they were NWA World Tag Team Champions also together.
It's weird to hear Flair as a tag team champion because he's not really associated with that.
Oh, I know. Yeah, well,
he's been champion with Valentine, Batista, and Piper.
Yep. Three of the best of all time. Hall of Famers.
Yep, Batista soon to be.
Dave soon to be. They announced those guys early this year.
Yeah, well, they probably wanted to get like pre-sales and stuff, just because I know when I went to the Hall of Fame, when Edge and the Horsemen and all of them got inducted, that the Hall of Fame didn't really sell out.
Yeah, well, you know, if they would have done what I wish they would do and held off the NWO until, in all likelihood, next year when WrestleMania looks like it's going to come at least out west,
yeah,
if not all the way here to Inglewood, if the stadium's done,
they probably did for Hogan. Inducted,
but I'm not going to fly to friggin' Tampa. I'm sorry, I'm just not going to do it. Although I did, I managed to book myself a flight to Vegas for my birthday this year.
There you go.
So the first time I'm not driving or not being driven or taking the bus up there to see my buddies in the suburb of my birthday. I'm actually flying. It's like an hour flight there, hour flight back, and I can chill. I mean, yeah, I got to go to LAX, which sucks, but you know,
Nikolai. Hey, Volkov coming out by himself and not behind somebody else this time.
Right. That was funnier than hell last week. I love that Nikolai's wearing the American flag on his tights still because he turned babyface the previous 2 years.
Yeah, but people were still booing him in New York. So
that's in New York. They hate Nikolai in New York.
Yeah.
But yeah, remember before. You know, the whole communist gimmick with Sheik and Blassie, he wrestled Bruno in the Garden and was a vicious heel in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
He and Bruno sold the Garden out a couple times. And I think at one point they went to curfew. Like, it was like a 60 or 70 minute match or some shit. Just, it was just so different back then. You know, these big lumbering, you know, heavyweights would go 60, 70 minutes and not even bat an eye about it.
Yeah. Valentine with a figure four on Flair.
Well, that's his move too, so, you know.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I think Valentine stole it from Flair when he left the end up. Oh, there goes Nikolai already.
Yeah.
The knee. I think when Valentine left Crockett and went to the WWF for the whatever it was 8 years he was there, he brought the figure four with him because Flair wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure he applied the figure four also on Wahoo when he broke Wahoo's leg. I think. I don't know.
Yeah, for those who have never been put in a figure four leg lock, it really freaking hurts.
It does. I was talking to my buddy Lisa about this. It's a pain. It hurts. If it's properly applied, it'll bend your knees in half.
Oh, yeah.
The boss man is running. There you go, folks.
In probably the best shape, arguably, that the boss man was ever in.
When you think about what we saw last week, and then a year later, the boss man debuted in the Rumble match, how big Ray Traylor was compared to 3 years later. My God.
Oh, Valentine's gone.
There goes Valentine. He's mad. But Ray got himself in super duper shape.
I always liked the boss man.
I did too. He was one of my favorites of all time. Hell, even my grandmother liked the boss man.
And his theme song was kind of badass too.
Oh yeah, definitely. Dude, I popped so hard that one time that SWAT team boss man came out to the babyface theme. I was like, what?
When was that?
It's on an episode of Raw in 99. Let me look real quick here. Hang on. I'll tell you when it was. It was brief, but it happened.
I'm going to have to watch that episode of Raw then.
Hell yeah. Let's see here.
I hope they didn't dub like his Attitude Era theme over it.
No, they didn't because I heard it. I heard it again.
Oh, there goes Davey.
There goes Davey. Davey didn't go coast to coast like he did in 95.
Nope. And there goes Tornado.
Jeez. They're dropping like flies now, kids.
Now, in Kerry Von Erich's case, both feet have to hit the floor, so can he ever be eliminated?
Oh, damn!
Sorry.
I didn't want to make that joke. You're terrible.
I made that joke about Zach Gowen, too, so...
That's true.
There go Matador and Sean.
You are just a bad, bad man.
I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Lord, I apologize for that there, and... Be with the pygmies, amen.
But it was there, and I couldn't let it go.
No,
big
you
hurt.
And I, you and I are very much like my dad in that. It's like if it's there on that the carrot at the end of that rope, you gotta gnaw at it, man.
I love how Flair no sells everything Herc does, high fives Barbarian, and then chops
him. Right. I'm trying to find when that was. It may have been 98.
98 would have made more sense because he came back like right before.
Well, what I'm saying is there was some point where he was in the corporation and then they turned on him or he turned on them or something. And he came out to
Barbarian and Herc are both gone.
Yep, and Bossman and Flair are left. I'm just trying to think here, because there's one point that he came out to the hard time theme to confront the corporation, and then went in the ring and hugged him after all.
I'm
trying to think here when that was. Let's see. I know I'm not paying attention to the match, and I'm sorry.
Uh-oh. Here comes Boss Man hanging himself.
Right. Oh. First time he did it, anyway.
Yeah.
First time he's hung on pay-per-view.
That time he did it to himself.
That's right.
It wasn't the bruise fault.
No, that's right. Let's see here.
This was probably, okay, you get 10 seconds to take a breath before the second half of the match, Flair.
Right.
And then of all the people.
Roddy. And Flair's like, Flair no.
He's like, no, why does it have to be Piper?
Of all people, why has it got to be Roddy? Oh, my God. This is fucking the crap out of me that I can't find this. I'm going to find it before the show goes off the air, I promise you.
Just message me with a link, too, because I want
to
see that.
I'm definitely going to.
Or at least the day that it happened.
I'm trying to see here. Let me see. Ow, that's my ankle.
And then they weirdly got along in WCW 99 with Piper turning heel. That was so weird.
That was so weird.
You know, I would have been fine with Piper winning this match too and winning two titles in one night.
Oh, that would have been fine with me. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my god, too much.
Piper's equal amounts of like charisma and comedy, and two of the best of all time.
Yep. Okay, I may have found it, but it doesn't have a date stamp on it. Bitch. Okay. I'll keep digging. I don't want to put a sleeper on in the middle of a rumble. It's like, if even to knock the guy out, you got to pick him back up, throw him over the top rope.
Yep.
And if he's dead weight, he's dead weight, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of,
yep.
Whatever. I was going to say it there, honestly.
Heel Jake was so great.
Heel Jake was very, very underrated in my opinion. I mean, I know people praise Jake, don't get me wrong, but still, his heel work in WWE is just fantastic.
I mean, he's so damn convincing.
Yes, I agree. All right, let's see here. I'm going to figure this out. WWE. I'm just going to cheat and go on the network, see if I can find the clip of it.
Uh-oh.
Short arm clothesline.
I always enjoyed the short arm clothesline.
I did, too. Because you knew what was coming.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's see here.
Jake going for another DDT in the Royal Rumble. That's not going to work.
Nope. I don't think it ever did.
96.
Oh, that's right.
He gave one to Savio.
That's right.
It's a kilt. It's not a skirt. Love Heenan.
I'm just sitting back and imagining one because I can hear it. It's so funny.
It's not a kilt, it's a skirt.
You jerk. Okay, there's a screen cap on the March 15th, 99 episode of Raw with Pat Patterson dressed like Road Warrior Hawk. I don't want to know why.
Oh boy.
I don't even want to friggin' know.
The first ever winner.
That's right. Hacksaw is coming with a purpose. I want to say he came out with it was a corporation, not the corporate ministry that he came out and hugged. I'm just, fuck. This is bugging the crap out of me.
That's okay. Don't take time away from this match.
I worry
about it later.
It's such a great Rumble match. I've seen it so many times. I can recite it in my sleep at this point.
I know, but it's still fun to watch.
It is. I'm definitely watching it. I'm just trying to trying this. But turn that damn thing down, Jesus Christ!
Oh, baby faces going after each other.
This is madness, I say madness.
And Piper still has time to poke Flair in the eye.
Well, no, for Roddy Piper, there's always time to poke Flair in the eye. Not this one. Oh, let's see here. So we got everybody's down. They're all winded already.
Well, Flair's been in there for half an hour.
Yeah. Flair's just gas at this point. But he's not, though. That's the thing. He's still the man. I love it.
And it's not like an indie battle royal where you can have a bunch of rest spots.
Right, no. Oh, no, man. The Romans are a whole other beast.
Irwin.
I love it.
Let me in. Oh, sorry.
Right?
Whoever would have thought.
Yeah, exactly.
That his son would be a world and universal champion.
That's right. Well, Irwin's kids can be anything they want to be. All you have to do is believe.
That'll open some eyes for the people that don't know, but knowing our audience, that they probably already know the deal.
They know. And they know, which is even scarier.
He's got to bite his tongue. That was always one of my favorite lines when somebody grabbed his tie.
Grab the tongue. Wait, what? Jesus. I love theatrical breakups. This is awesome.
And Flair face bump.
Down goes Flair. Down goes Flair again.
I hate face bumps. So props to Flair for taking so many of them.
Oh, I know. Career. Dude, it's just ridiculous how much Flair bumped on his face. My God, they're just working over poor Hacksaw. Oh, speaking of Hacksaw, thank you to Hacksaw for retweeting my tweet about the 88 Rumble.
He did.
Over the weekend, he did.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll get you some listeners.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
I was talking. Let me read what I said here. That way I can point it out to the people that just listen to me and don't read my tweets, which shame on you. Let's see here. Let's bring it up. Where are we at here? Who's next? Come on. Bring it up.
Superfly.
The Superfly is going to fly. It's not tonight. Because if you fly on the top rope, you go over top rope. Let's see here. Oh, did you get to see any of Wrestle Kingdom over the weekend?
I didn't, just like the gifts of stuff. I don't really follow New Japan a whole lot.
Right.
I saw the results and whatnot, but I don't really.
Yeah, I generally don't either.
I was going to say, as a married man, there's not enough time for all the wrestling that's happening.
This is true. Oh, you know why Hacksaw retweeted me? Because I mentioned the clip you found.
Oh,
I said was, while watching the 88 Rumble match during last week's Wrestling Rewind, Greg Carey mentioned a segment on WWE TV where Tony Schiavone referred to Hacksaw's intelligence and Bobby Heenan had a legendary reaction, a wink face. Well, Greg found the clip and I put the YouTube clip on underneath the tweet and Hacksaw retweeted it.
That's awesome.
Gotta love when Duggan retweets shit against it. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Props to Hacksaw.
That's it. Love me some Hacker. Thank God he's still with us, man. He's been through kidney cancer and all kinds of crap.
Ow.
Just madness.
Post-surgery, that looks like it hurts even more.
Right? Exactly. Oh, my God. And you know what? It's funny. We watched this right at, okay. You know, I'm gonna break the fourth wall here, kids. We're watching this right after I recorded Tuesday's one-on-one with Jeff Meacham with Rick Ellis. So I just got finished talking to a guy who, you know, prided himself on how great his stuff looked and how great a worker he was and how badass he was. These guys here are just laying into each other in 92, just tarring the hell out of each other.
Yep. Dong.
Now, see, I kind of agree with either Gorilla or whoever said it, Bobby's assessment. He got a raw deal in his number here. Because Undertaker and Hogan were supposed to be getting the last 10, 21 through 30. Undertaker's number 20.
Yeah, still not a bad draw.
Well, no, but, you know, considering that, you know, there was supposed to be, quote-unquote, partial treatment to the two most recent former WWE champions. As, there goes Jimmy. WrestleMania revenge, bitch. WrestleMania 2.0.
I was going to say, why is it WrestleMania revenge? Taker won that one, too.
Revenge for making you, for having to have you be my first streak number.
Oh.
At least he got Jake this year.
Yeah.
And then it went downhill from there for a few years.
Yeah. Hard to believe that at the point of this match, Undertaker's streak was 1-0.
I know, right? What's even funnier is, you know, Roddy mentions this on his biography DVD. It's on the network now, of course. At this point, according to what he said, and I could be, you know, it could be Roddy just being Roddy, 17 and a half years, he's never been pinned or made to submit. And it would happen at WrestleMania 8. Against Brett. For the championship that you revere oh so much.
Yep.
The very symbol of WTC, if you will. Run, Jake! Flair just bumps. He just falls down.
I missed
that. Like, I am not dealing with Savage. I am not.
We're doing a watch along, so I can't go back.
Yeah. When Savage hit the ring, Flair just flat back. He's like, no, not doing it. Not dealing with Randy. Like,
not dealing with Randy tonight. I'll see him at Mania.
For Hoosier Dome. I'm not messing with him today. He's pissed. That was the funniest damn thing. Oh my god. Oh, now see, here's where the rules of the Rumble kind of get a little muddled here. In just a second, you guys will see what I'm talking about.
I love how Savage like gets in there and looks like he legit wants to kill Jake.
He does. Knowing Randy, he probably did. And there goes Jake. Now, right here.
And there goes.
Boom. But he's not eliminated.
Yeah.
In subsequent years, they would be.
Yeah. I wonder if the 93 Rumble finish was designed because of what happened this year.
Yeah, I'm thinking so, because it's...
Because it's like, hey, we're going to make you look like an idiot 2 years in a row in the Rumble.
Right, yeah.
Taker still in gimmick, and then he tries to go after Savage and falls over himself. Poor Taker.
As great as this match is, some of the points you go, hey, wait a minute, this is too funny. I missed this before. I totally missed that flare bump the first time, a few times. I was like,
I don't think I've ever like noticed it, but now next time I watch this, I'm going to have to...
Yeah. Randy ran out, slid in the ring. As soon as he got anywhere near Flair looking for Jake, Flair just flat back, like, nope. Not today. Roddy's like, that's fine. I'll just keep whooping your ass some more. Oh, man. What's Taker's face here?
Yep.
What? What the hell's the matter with you, Duggan? You know I will kill you. Oh, Oh, jeez. I just love everything about this match. I'm so glad I picked this for the first Rumble season viewings.
Well, I mean, you have to.
I know. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, I wasn't sure what other one I wanted to do because I had 88 because that's the first. I had this one. Yep. That's the best. And I had the first Women's Rumble, but I was like, what do I put in there in week three? I was like, God, there's so many. There's so many good ones. There's so many good moments, even in some of the bad. Hello.
Yeah.
3 points. Yeah, it's just 2001. I think it's Huss. That's right. I think 2001 is probably Stone Cold's best Rumble win.
Yeah.
Only because of where it led to, the match it led to.
Yeah. I don't know. 98 was a good Rumble win, too.
It was. And 98 is a good Rumble. You got Foley's performance. You've got The Rock, who's a stud in that. You've got the whole drama of when Steve's going to come out. You've got, you know, a lot. You got Mike Tyson cheering on from the suite.
Led to Austin Michaels. So.
Right. It's a good. We'll definitely hit that one up next year.
And 2004 was a great Rumble, although not talked about much anymore.
Unfortunately not. No, I was talking with Rick about that yesterday, just about, you know, it was really cool. Like I said, you didn't watch Wrestle Kingdom. When they were doing Liger's retirement segments throughout the weekend, they showed a clip of Benoit holding up Liger's hand in victory.
Wow.
I thought that was super cool.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like, you don't condone what he did, but like, he still had an impact on people's careers.
Exactly what Rick said. You know, you can't condone or, you know, whatever from it or, you know, be about it. But, you know, he did so. The last weekend of his life, notwithstanding, Chris Benoit was one of the most impactful and influential guys in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, using those two words, yeah, the last weekend of his life was impactful and influential on this business.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the person I really feel bad for, though, is Randy Orton. Because in career retrospectives that they always do, they're always going to not mention his first world title win.
And it sucks because that was such a great match. It was such a huge moment for him.
Oh, absolutely.
As a matter of fact, I think, I could be wrong, I don't have the schedule in front of me, and I can't look on my phone while I've got the recording going, but I'm pretty sure I have that match lined up to watch in August for us.
I'm pretty sure you do, too. I think I saw it on there.
Oh, wait, I forgot I messaged you the schedule. Duh. God. I swear to God, dude, Wrestle Kingdom just kicked my ass. I'm exhausted. 3 straight days of being up, you know, into the graveyard hours.
Oh, Heenan. God.
I know. Ridiculous.
Who knows how many bags he's gone through in the back regarding Virgil.
I know. Poor Mike Jones. Fucker can't catch a break.
Soul Train Jones.
Soul Train. Hey, you know what? More power to Cody, man. Right? It's, you know, bring it. Why not? Bring him in. What the hell?
Bring him in and reference a completely old gimmick of his.
Jesus. Well, I mean, they can't call him Virgil. So.
Well, no.
But what's funny is Cody totally could, because that's his dad's real name.
Yeah.
I doubt the WWF trademarked the name Virgil. I mean, they may have.
Maybe they were like, "Yeah, it's not that big a deal. Virgil keeps his name."
That's right. Oh, it was a rib on Dusty anyway.
Yep.
Just like his name in WCW was a rib on the McMahon. So that's, yeah.
Yep. You know, Vince and Shane.
Vincent and Shane, exactly. Yeah, man, it's stupid. Here we go. Who's coming out next? Number 24. Another Battle Royal legend.
Mustafa.
Mustafa, that's it. For those of you that don't know, it's the Iron Sheik.
And Adnan.
Kayfabe. By the way, do yourself a favor. I don't know how well you listen, often you listen to other podcasts besides the ones you're on. Go listen to last week's Bruce Pritchard, Something to Wrestle With. He and Conrad go knees deep talking about the Iron Sheik's career. Oh my God, is it funny? Just to hear the Bruce Pritchard talk about the cheeky baby and the accent that he used is funnier than shit.
Berserker with a terrible looking pile driver on Virgil.
Yeah, what the hell's up with that, John Norwood? Give me a break. Come on, Berserker.
He passed away last year or the year before? It's been recently.
Recently? Oh, no, he's still alive.
Is he? I thought he passed.
John Norwood's still alive, according to this. Last year he was sent, let's see, in March he was arrested on two charges, a felony for driving while intoxicated, operating a car under the influence of a controlled substance, and a gross misdemeanor for driving after, so he had no license and he was driving under the influence.
Why did I think he was dead?
Well, he was sentenced to 5 years probation on the condition that he remain in restrictive housing and refrain from driving whatsoever. Oh, he's got amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, so he's in a wheelchair, so that's probably what you heard. He's in an assisted living facility now. So,
is Kamala still alive? Because I know he's a double amputee.
Pretty sure Kamala died, but let me look. I have to do a little digging to get his name up because he's not in this Rumble. So,
and we mentioned him earlier. There's the model.
There he is, the record holder for now. Where is? Okay, come on. There we go. That's what I want. Kamala. There we go. Kamala. Now Kamala's still alive too. He's just in bad health for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, November 22nd.
I don't think Kamala ever entered a Rumble.
He never did. November 22nd, 2017, it was reported that he was able to breathe on his own, yet unable to talk and remained in intensive care. So, that's where Sugar Bear Harris stands. Coming up next is the big guy. Well, not
Ryback.
No, there'll be no Skippy Flyback in this match. My big guy, my buddy.
I was going to say, Mustafa's gone already.
I'm not surprised. He lasted 2.5 minutes. Which is longer than some of the guys lasted.
Yep.
I got a zit on the back of my neck and that hurts. Damn it.
He didn't break Warlord's record.
No, definitely not. Which is now Santino's record.
Yeah. No, but nobody's breaking Santino's record.
If somebody gets out in less than 1 second, they should just be released immediately.
I don't... Honestly, they should get a promotion because I don't even know if it's physically possible.
Well, from what I understand, and I could be wrong, but the 1 year that Titus got eliminated really early on in his entry,
yeah,
they were trying to break that record and he botched it.
Oh, yeah, he like came too far in the ring and didn't bump right.
Right.
There's Hogan.
There's the Hulkster. Just, if you're on mute, look at the crowd. They just popped. Mm-hmm. Even in 92, man.
And then Hogan turns heel later in this match, although not really.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
We'll discuss that at the end.
When we get there. Yeah, it's funny. You know, you... and Aaron were talking about the January 4th 1999 Monday Night War, and I mentioned that, you know, Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson watched Raw the last week when they were talking about that show. There goes Martel.
He's still in, but he just fell out of the ring.
Right. Just watching the crowd rise. No, he went out over the top rope on the floor.
No, he's still in.
Oh, okay.
He's right there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Bye, Taker.
There he goes. And he's just stoic about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just watching the crowd with no sound on, just watching the crowd roar to its feet, even in physical form, when the glass breaks and Stone Cold interferes in the title match on Raw. Holy crap.
Yeah.
They just went nuts. And what's funny now, is
Hogan choking somebody with his shirt.
See, now that's not very Hulk Hogan like.
Virgil and Duggan are gone.
Same time. There they go. That's funny.
Everybody in the Rumble using Hogan's shirt as a weapon now.
That's right. It's a universal weapon. Here we go.
IRS on Piper.
That's right. It's just so funny that part of the NoDQ team, Aaron and Mike and our buddy Austin and I, were part of the Stone Cold pop like that.
Yeah.
2003 when he came back off the air in LA. I have, to this day, in anything I've been a part of, concerts, sporting event, well, not sporting events, I'll hang on. Other than the King Stanley Cup win, I have never heard a crowd that loud.
I didn't even realize you were there for that, but that's cool.
The first one, man. Yet with the last 5 minutes, there was not a person sitting, a person quiet, and I dare say there wasn't a dry eye in the place.
Because I was on the No Way Out DVD. They posted that whole segment with him and him stunning Morley a few times and stunning Jericho.
And stunning him, yeah. That was, I mean, we were all sitting there during the segment with Vince and Bischoff and went off the air. And there was that brief little pause. And then I remember this to this day. Aaron debates me on this, but for a split second before the glass broke, his skull titantron appeared on the screen. And I had sound rising. I was about to go, oh, and then crash. And you couldn't hear anybody except screaming. The place, as Patterson says, went banana.
I don't understand what happens to Martel there. Like, unless his ears are like trapped in between Piper's legs, but he is like selling like he's getting his head crushed on a vice.
Well, maybe Piper has extraordinarily strong thigh muscles.
I guess that's possible.
Cauliflower ears are a bitch. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah. That roar in Staples Center in 2003 was only matched for me by the Stanley Cup victory for the Kings.
Right.
It was just absurd. Here comes Sarge.
Yep.
Freshly minted. Well, not freshly, but, pretty close to freshly baby-faced.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. A little, 1 year to the event, almost to the day, of him winning the championship, and he's already a lot bigger than he was when he won the title. There goes Skinner. Have you ever gone back and watched Steve Kern's pre-Skinner stuff?
I don't know. I know he was like the alternate Doink, because that's been brought up before.
Well, that was after this.
Well, I know that was after this because Doink hadn't debuted yet.
Right. But no, I'm talking about when he was part of the Fabulous Ones, when he was an actual attractive man who was supposed to be like a model guy and wrestle with his shirt off and had like blonde hair and was a pretty boy pretty much.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And then he comes back in 2007 for the 15th anniversary Battle Royal.
Yep, I remember that. That was funny.
Now, Savage turn to use Hogan's shirt.
You know, I wonder who has that Hogan shirt now and if it ever made it to a collector's case.
No idea.
That's funny to think about. Flair just like, I'm just going to attack Savage now. He's doing back turn.
Everybody's on one side of the ring.
Everybody's on the same side. Guys, big ring. Spread out.
It's 20 by 20. You can make room. Oh, there you go, Sarge.
There we go. Okay. All right. Sarge figured it out. That's why he's a ring general. It should be number 29 if I'm counting right.
Might be 28.
No, because 28 was Slaughter.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay. I don't know why I thought Slaughter was 27.
Not quite Psycho Sid, although he is Psycho anyway.
Oh, yeah. Was this post-stabbing of Arn?
No, this is pre.
Oh, okay.
This is a year and a half, almost 2 years before that, actually. The thing with Arn was in October 93 over in London.
Sid's kicks are so high, he's kicking, it's almost like he's kicking Irwin there on the neck. Yeah. Or the shoulder or something.
Again, another big guy that, you know, had he lived up to the potential that he was promoted as, he would have been one of the greatest of all time.
I mean, he's still a former two-time champ, so there's that.
In WWE.
Well, WWE.
Time in WCW,
Mm-hmm. Of course, his WCW ones were kind of weird.
Well, the first one ended up being a real quick little thing because the NWO dicked him over. But once he got it back at the end of January, he was champion until the reboot in April.
Yeah, until the reset.
Yeah. And then, of course, a year later, he was minus a couple bones in his leg.
Yeah. That's one pay-per-view I'm not going to watch.
Nope. I absolutely outright refuse to watch it again. I made the mistake of watching the clip, just the clip of the injury. I have never seen anything that gruesome in wrestling in my life.
I get to like till he's 2 inches above the mat, and it's like I can't watch it because having broken my leg before, I know how much that sucks.
Yeah.
And granted, it wasn't that bad.
Right.
But still painful as hell.
Well, it's funny. People for me, they go, well, Jeff, you sat through and watched, you know, Ian Rotten and Supreme have a barbed wire rope death match. I'm like, do you not remember me and Tammy Sitz dry heaving in the control room during that match? We were both up chucking air. It was so bad. I can't do this. I can't do the queasy shit. I can't do it. Here comes Harvey Whippleman. Okay. Does anybody else remember Warlord and Harvey being together? Because I sure don't. How long were they together?
Very briefly. Because I know they were together at the Survivor Series a couple months prior.
Okay. Because it wouldn't be too much longer that Harvey was with Sid.
Yeah.
Because Harvey managed Sid at Mania.
Mm-hmm. And then his mic cut off in the middle of introducing Sid at Mania.
That was so funny. Poor Bruno. Jesus. Oh my god. Let's see here. Where is I don't see that. Fuck it, whatever. I don't care.
Jeez.
Oh my god.
I still can't get over that elimination. Like Sid throws him and Slaughter just like propels himself over the ropes.
And the fact that Sarge could do that as big as he is.
Oh, yeah.
And as uncoordinated as he always seemed to be. There you go. Let's do the Hogan boot in the middle of a Rumble match, because why not?
Yeah.
Jeez. I don't think Sid ever worked as a babyface while he was a babyface. I think he always worked as heel Sid and was like, oh, yeah, they're cheering me. Well, they like it, so let's do it.
Well, I mean, works for him. Why change up your style if people like what you do?
Bobby Gorilla's commentary is great here. After what happens, Gorilla just eats it up.
He went out.
By that time. Oh my
God. I was waiting for Flair to low blow Hogan.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right. Well, that'd be the next thing to do.
Hogan raking people's eyes all over the place.
He always did that. Like, how did he get away with that?
It's like Hogan did so many like dirty things in the ring as a babyface and got away with it.
Raking bags? Jesus.
Yeah.
Here's your Superman, kids.
Yeah. And he was choking people with his shirt during this match, too. So.
It's amazing going back. Oh, geez. Thinking of it. There we go.
Speaking of Martel amazing, and Piper are gone.
Those are some pink tights.
Who's left?
Martel, man. Wow.
Who's left is the double main event.
That's it. Just on the wrong side of the ring from each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because it was supposed to be Flair and Hogan.
It should have been. And from what I heard, it was going to be Sid Savage, too.
Yeah.
There goes Savage. And now we got what we came to see, folks. Hogan and Flair. Look how big Flair's hair is. I can't even say it.
Well, you figure he's been out there for 50-some minutes.
I know. Probably lost 10 pounds by now. Well, there he goes. And here comes some shady shit right here.
Yep. Sid completely in the rules of the match. Sid didn't do anything wrong.
I declare shenanigans. Hey, bad for himself, big boy.
But like Hogan's acting like he got screwed. It's like, hey, it's in the rules of the match. Sid didn't do anything wrong. Buddy. And here's Hogan trying to pull him out.
Dick move.
Hulk Hogan helping Ric Flair win the WWF Championship, and Hogan's the babyface. What?
The hell?
Sid got screwed in this story. Sid got screwed royally. So bad.
No wonder he went psycho. First he didn't stab Hogan. Or Tony or somebody.
Yeah.
Bobby's just selling the hell out of this. Can I mute my mic? Because that'd be super. I want to listen to Flair's promo in your interview.
After we get off the air here? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably just going to go back and listen to it again because it's so good. But I'll keep the video running for you guys watching along with us because what? And unfortunately, this part here takes way too long. This little confrontation and schmoz here takes way too long. I thought sure Shane McMahon was in a suit in this part, but I haven't seen him, so I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, I don't see Shane at all.
Everybody else out there, though. Tony Garea, Mike Goulet, there's Pat.
And you know what's funny about this? They were cheering for Sid.
They were.
Because Hogan screwed Sid.
He did. He royally screwed him. Whoa, there goes Patterson. Yeah, Sid was.
They're booing Hogan.
Yeah, Sid was completely in the right here.
He was.
He was completely 100% right. And Miss Hulkamaniac charter member here, but he just threw a referee down and sat down. Like, what? Come on. Freaking Dave Hebner, dude. He got beat up a lot.
Yep.
Who's the balding guy on the far right there in the suit? I've never seen him before. See, they're cheering him. There's some Sid. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And even Hulk's like, oh, shit.
And Gorilla doing his best to, like, justify Hogan eliminating him. It's like...
No, Gorilla, you're wrong.
No. Like, even Cena, like, as a babyface, the only time he was, like, really heel was the one-night stand match versus Van Damme.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah, he really didn't go heel against Punk. He stayed the course.
Yeah, he stayed the course there, but, like he kind of knew going in to that one, but right. He, like, fully embraced the heeldom.
Oh, yeah. Well... Everybody in that Hammerstein ballroom wanted to kill John Cena. There's no question about it in my mind.
Yeah. I'll kill you.
I love that. That was great. I love this. I love every part of this whole thing. I'm just going to lay back. You guys can turn the audio on if you want. Go for it.
Yeah.
So good. Mm-hmm. He's genuinely ecstatic here. He's playing it cool, being an H, but in the back of his mind, he's going, fuck you, Dusty. Fuck you, Herd. Fuck you all back there in Atlanta. And all you people that said I was too old and wanted to cut my hair and put me in a gladiator outfit and an earring in my ear, kiss my ass, all of you. And the point he said there at one point where he said, this is the only title in the wrestling world that makes you number one. He even said, yeah, that was a direct shot at everybody at WCW that said he was too old to be the world champion.
Sorry, I'm not saying much, but I love this promo.
No, you're good, man. You're good, dude. I know you're listening to it. It's fine. I'm just talking to people that are keeping it on mute. Because I, that's...
Mean Gene.
Dude.
Oh,
the
man.
The most legendary botch they did in the end of that in post in the history of the WWF. Fantastic. Well, it's just so funny because everybody knows that Vince hates smoking.
Yeah.
It's like, put that shit out, you moron. What's the matter with you? The stories of Vince's hate of smoking is legendary. All right. Gene's wrapping it up here at the Knickerbocker Arena here in Albany, New York. And I'm going to go on to WrestleMania, and I'm going to be there partying with the Hoosiers. Left and right, folks. All right. That's the end of that crap.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to rewind a little bit here and get to the promo. I'm going to watch that when we're done recording here.
So good.
So good. Everything about that match is just unbelievable. It is the greatest. I dare say it's the greatest battle royal in history. Not even just for I mean battle royal, period.
I could agree with that. There are some battle royals that like stand out to me, but I'm a battle royal guy anyway.
Right.
But nothing compares to the 92 Rumble.
Yeah, people are talking about, you know, since they know that the gimmick is I'm trying to watch stuff on the day it happened or close to it. Mm-hmm. In this case, I'm not, because we're just doing Rumbles during Rumble season. But they say they want us to watch the World War Threes and, you know, some of the other long matches. It's like, guys, some of these matches go a long, long, long time. And, you know, the Rumbles are, you know, they stay pretty active. World War III, all 5, 6, 7, 8. All four of those matches are kind of a clusterfuck.
Oh, yeah. At 98, Kevin Nash is just sitting in a ring for like 5 minutes waiting for everybody else. It's basically Kevin Nash buries 58 other guys because the 60th person was supposed to be Hogan, but he had retired. And we went over that on the other show. But
Every World War III got progressively worse and worse as the years went on.
In 95 wasn't bad. I'm trying to remember. I don't know if I've watched through 96 all the way through. I've watched through 97. I've watched through 98 a few times. I don't think I've watched through 96.
96 is good mainly because when it gets down to it, it's every NWO member in the match against Luger, and Luger just gets over like gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but still doesn't win.
We'll have to see, you know, when we get to November if we have it in us to sit through a 3-ring 60-man battle royal.
I mean, I have no problem with it. I will never argue against watching a battle royal.
Right, of course. Well, we'll see how things go. So, just to recap, coming up this week on the show on Friday, I'll be joined by NoDQ, our former NoDQ NXT team and now NXT team member Colin Andrew. He and I and one of the panelists, I'm trying to get somebody else on the show, we're going to preview this weekend's NXT TakeOver Blackpool 2. And then next week on this show, we're going to cover the 2001 Royal Rumble match. Greg, any plugs, sir?
You can go to follow me on Instagram at PA Sensation. The link to my Teespring store is there. I put up a couple new shirts.
Nice.
Which I know Jeff has seen.
Champ is here. Champ is here.
Exactly. And I'm working on just trying to get a whole bunch of designs up there so you guys can have your choice through a bunch of stuff. The shirt for my game show Luck of the Draw is up. You can choose from like 15 different colors of shirts. All the same price. I got shirts up there. You know what? I have not looked. I haven't designed any hats yet, so I can't tell you.
I really want to do a Talk Wrestling hat to go with Talk Wrestling shirt, and I can't find a hat option.
I'll tell you what. When we get off the air here, I'll take a look and see what I can figure out.
Sounds good.
Teespring store or teespring.com/stores/all one word Keystone Delight.
There you go.
Also, the link's on my Instagram and my bio. So nice. If it's easier to follow me on Instagram and buy my shirts, buy a shirt that way, then go ahead and do that.
All right. @_JeffBeacham on Twitter and Instagram. And we will see you guys next week right here on Wrestling Rewind.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.